In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. We're going to begin the round of sanctification. This is volume 15, 6:10-23, Louisa's Prayer. Since you have called me into your divine will, do not leave me behind, O Jesus. So let it be so that, together with you, I may follow the acts of creation, to requite you for the love of all the created things, as well as those of the redemption and sanctification, so that wherever your acts and your love are present, there may be the requital of mine. So here, this is a prayer that we should pray and know. We want to, in the divine will, begin to pray the way Jesus has taught Louisa, because this is the way Adam prayed before the fall. This is the way Jesus and Mary prayed while on earth. And again, it's to call upon the divine will to reign. It's called to call the Lord, God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to pray in our praying, along with all the angels and all the saints, past, present, and future. So again, it's very, very important that we are calling the divine will. We are calling fire from heaven. Come, divine will. Every time we call the divine will, we are the ones, like Elijah, calling fire from heaven. And that's why we wear the scapular. As Catholics, we in being one with Jesus and Mary through Louisa, calling this fire down. It is the fire of the love of God, symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This fire is coming to on earth and purifying the world. So our job is to set the world on fire. This is what the Charismatics and Pentecostals are praying for, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Louisa. And once they understand this, once they see the truth that is there, watch the world be caught on fire. And again, for those who are in love with God, it will be ecstasy. For those that hate God, hate His church, it will be wailing and grinding of teeth. See, the kingdom is coming. And God wants those who want this kingdom to be part of it. But if we do not want it, then we can't be here. And so the fire will be, as Our Lady said, it'll be good for some, it'll be bad for most. Volume 30, 1:12-32. I was praying according to my usual way, the round of the acts, in the acts done by the divine will. And I felt that in the divine will, and with the divine will, I could embrace everything, remember everything, look at everything of what the divine will had done. See, this is the glorious thing about praying in the divine will. It's not a prayer of the saints. It's not a prayer of St. Ignatius or St. Francis or St. Teresa. I mean, they're beautiful prayers, but they're human prayers done in a saintly way. This is to pray in a divine manner. She said, I felt in the divine will that with the divine will, I could embrace everything, remember everything, look at everything of what the divine will had done. And so we want to enter into that life of true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, because this is how they prayed. This is how they called upon the Father and the Holy Spirit by being one with them. And so it's in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. So she says, it was an infinite theater that made itself present before my mind, and with the divine and innumerable scenes, it made me enjoy unspeakable sweetnesses and the most beautiful and enchanting scenes that the power of the divine fiat had put out in the round of creation, round of redemption, round of sanctification. So again, this is not human as we know it. It's to begin to live a life of Jesus and Mary, who are perfectly human. See, there's no sin. That's what God breathed into Adam. God wants us to participate in what He wanted Adam to have, and that was sharing in divinity. So through baptism of the Catholic Church, baptism basically brings us the image of God. And now with this great gift of the divine will, we are going to be in God's likeness to do what God does. So therefore, you know, it's enchanting. It's beautiful. It is something that has never been experienced by the saints. The saints knew holy things and good things and saintly things, but to live in the divine will is something that is extraordinary, never been seen by any human except Jesus and Mary, the Son of God, the Mother of God, and Adam before he fell. And now God wants to give this gift back to mankind. And it seems it is a round that is made in the course of the centuries. And in this round, it has done many beautiful, marvelous things, such as to astonish both heaven and earth. It made this round in the order to make us go around, to make known to us how much it can do and is able to do for love of us, love of mankind. So again, the round is to go around all the centuries, to go around all of creation, to go around all of redemption, to go around all of sanctification. So the Lord wants us to experience this creative, uncreative love. He wants us to participate in God, and that's what the drop of water and the chalice filled with wine, when the priest put the drop of water, may we share in the divinity of Christ, as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. This is what God has in store for us. So Louise says, while I was going around in the infinite round of the divine volition, my lovable Jesus, visiting his little newborn, that's her name, she's a newborn of the divine will, the firstborn of the divine will, Jesus told her, my little daughter of the divine will, if you knew how much I enjoy seeing you go around in the infinite round of my supreme fiat. Okay, so this is what God is calling us to do. It's to go around the infinite round of God's fiat, to begin to experience the life and likeness, the image and likeness of God. Okay, no one participates that in fully at this point. The first one who will do this will be the Holy Father. And then he who has the keys to the kingdom will open the door and everyone will enter into it. And there'll be one church, one flock, one shepherd. And as I see you pause as though surprised in front of its prodigies, its admirable and adorable works, its enchanting and rapturing scenes, in my ardor of love, I say, how happy I am. This is God's name. How happy I am that my daughter Louisa is the spectator and enjoys scenes so admirable of the divine will that created her. So again, she's participating in this abundant life that all of us are supposed to participate in. She is the first. She is the newborn, and then she's the mother of the second generation of the children of light. And as we link ourselves to Louisa, we then begin to possess the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. But Jesus says, this is not enough. You must know, and that's underlined because we are called by God to memorize this. This is part of what it means to live in the divine will. And as Jesus teaches us the divine will through Louisa, he keeps on adding as we get farther and farther along in the volumes, you must know, you must understand this. This is something that is extraordinary. So he says, in order to purchase a property, it is necessary that one must first sell it to give it to the one who must acquire it and the freedom to visit it, almost leading him by the hand in order to let him know all the goods that are in this land, the fountains it possesses, the rarity and preciousness of the plants, the fertility of the ground. This serves to charm the one who must purchase it. And it is necessary for the one who must purchase it to give some advances, to make some substantial commitments in order to bind one who must sell the property so that it may not escape him. Now, blessed daughter Louisa, since I, God, want to give you the kingdom of the divine will, it is necessary for you to go around in its divine properties. And I, Jesus, am leading you by the hand, making known to you all its interminable seas, the goods, the prodigies, the surprising marvels, the joys and the happinesses, all things of infinite value that it possesses, so that by knowing it, you, Louisa, may love it and become so enamored that not only would you not be able to live without it, but you would lay down your life to purchase a kingdom so holy, so peaceful, so beautiful. But this is not yet all. Your part is needed, your pledges, your advances, your commitments. Okay, so here Jesus is showing us this kingdom through Luisa so that we will also participate. We have to pledge, we have to make a commitment. Now, this is so important for the souls living in the divine will. We have to prove to Jesus that this gift is what we want. And how do we prove it? By reading, by studying, by putting this into practice. This is what God is asking of us. He's asking us, pleading with us to purchase this property, to live in the kingdom. And he longs for us to do this. This is why it is so important for us to make a commitment to Jesus and Mary by promising them that we will read every day. You know, this is so necessary. During Lent, you know, we have the Hours of the Passion. During May, we have the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom. And these are beautiful books. But we should still be reading more, not just a passage a day, but throughout the day. As Jesus says, this must become our food, our nourishment. So Jesus says, our love and our goodness, wanting to give our divine will as property that belongs to the souls, is so great that it places at Luisa's disposal all our divine will that has been done, so that Luisa may use it as the equivalent pledges and commitments in order to receive a gift so great. So Jesus is saying that, humanly speaking, it is impossible. He says that in volume 27, I think it was October 27, 1929, he said, It is as impossible as the earth becoming the sun. To live in the divine will, that's how impossible this is. Remember, Jesus says, for man it is impossible, but for God all things were possible. Then Jesus says to Luisa, but I, God, am going to do this. See, we are going to share in divinity. It's not just to be good and holy and saintly, but to participate in God. This is why he breathed into Adam. There was no other gods around. And God is so filled, so beautiful, so filled with love and joy and peace. He wanted to share this. And so he created man in order to breathe into man his life, his image and likeness. And that's why Jesus says, you'll do far greater things than I. Because God is going to do this in us. And that's what he says to Luisa, that she may use it as the equivalent pledge and commitments in order to receive this gift so great. Now, as you, Luisa, go around in all creation, as you look at the heavens and you delight in seeing the beautiful azure of the vaulted stars, studded with stars, the sun radiant with light, and you recognize and feel the divine fiat palpitating, having created them for love of souls, and unleashing them from your heart, your little love, you love God who has loved you so much. And your love is imprinted in the highest in the heights of the heavens, in the light of the sun, and you then give us the return, the heavens as a pledge, the stars as an advance, the sun as a commitment. Because for you it was created, and it is enough that you possess our will as your life for it to already be yours, and to use it as the valid commitment in order to obtain its kingdom. So God gives us everything so that we can give it back to him. It's breathing in. We breathe in and we breathe out. The heart pumps in blood. The heart pumps blood out. Okay, it's an I love you from God. And then we return this I love you. This is what heaven's going to be. We're going to experience all the I love you of heaven. And we breathe it in. And then what do we have? But all the I love you. And we give that all back to God. And I love you. And God says, and I love you. And we say, and I love you. It's a competition of love for all eternity. This is what God is expecting of us now. Jesus says, the same, as you go around in all the other created things and you recognize them and you love us, for as many times as you repeat your rounds, every time you breathe, every time your heart beats, every time you step, every time you gaze, every time you look here, so many times you repeat the pledges, make the commitments, and commit us, triune God, to dispose things, to give graces, to give helps, in order to give as kingdom the great gift of the fiat voluntas tua on earth as it is in heaven. So here Jesus is saying that this is the round, the prayer that we need to learn. Okay, and again, we love the prayers of the saints. They're beautiful, holy, saintly, but it's not the divine will. To pray in the divine will is to breathe in all the I love yous, all the glory, all the sanctity of the sanctities into us, and then to give that back to God. I mean, this is why God breathed into Adam. He breathed into Adam all his divine, and now Adam breathes back to God the divine. See, we don't become God, but we become like God to give back to God what God deserves. We know that the creature has nothing to give us, and our divine love imposes itself in order to give our acts as if they were her own, placing our works in her hands as divine currency, so that she may have sufficient means to be able to negotiate with our Supreme Being. Though she has nothing, she has her little love, unleashed by our own act, own in the act of creating her, and therefore the soul has a particle of the infinite love of God. And when the creature loves us, she places the infinite in attitude, and we, Triune God, feel the magnetic force of the particle of our infinite love that, hovering about, loves us in the soul, rises and extends and reaches even to us, Triune God, and wants to enter into the infinite from which it came out. So here, God breathes the fiat in us, and then we breathe the fiat back to him. See, we are nothing. We are little, we are insignificant, we are creatures, we are dust. Yet God breathes into us immortality, breathes into us this divine life. And why? So that we can give it back to him. So that he can fill us again, then we can give it back to him. It's a competition of love. Oh, how it enraptures us, Triune God, the ardor of our love, we say, in the ardor of our love, we say, who can resist the power of our infinite love that unleashes itself from the soul and loves us, Triune God? To give heavens and earth seem little to us in order to repay the soul for her little love that through, though little, possesses the particle of the infinite. And this is enough for us, Triune God. Oh, how sweet and dear is the precious pledge of the love of the soul. And since there is nothing in the round of the centuries that has not come out from our holy divine will, your going around in the creation of Adam is a visit that you make in it in order to know what it operated in what the seas of graces, oceans of sanctity, oceans of love Adam was placed in the act of being created. And you want to make that love all yours in order to love us back again. And you commit us with those same acts in which we created Adam. In the same way, when you go around in the creation of the Virgin Mary, in her seas of graces, in my coming upon earth, and in everything I did and suffered, you place as commitment, the Queen of Heaven, my very life and all my acts. So here, the round of creation, round of redemption. So again, now the Lord wants to explain to us the round of sanctification. He needs us to understand our job, how we are to pray. My divine will is everything. And in order to give itself to the souls, it wants to be recognized. It wants to interact. It wants to negotiate with the soul. And the more you visit the divine will in its acts, the more abound and committed it finds itself. It begins the dispersing of its capital. All the truths, all the knowledges that I have given to you, Louisa, about my holy divine will, this is found in the Book of Heaven. Has this perhaps not been the capital I have made in your soul? And the same with us. As we read, as we study, as we participate in this great gift of the divine will, God has given us this capital, this money, in our soul. See, he says, give me your rusty penny of your human will, and I will give you billions. And our response should be fiat. I surrender my human will so that your holy divine will can reign in me. But what we say to God is, if I give you my rusty penny, I won't have it anymore. And see, there has to be this sacrifice of surrendering our rusty penny, our human will, in order to let the divine will reign in us. So we use our free will to choose. Do I want my misery, my human will, or do I want God's holy divine will? So our free will doesn't disappear. God asks us to use our free will to choose. Do you want your misery, or do you want God's holy divine will? So he says, and this is so exuberant that it can fill the whole entire world with light, with love, with sanctity, with graces, with peace. See, this is what's coming. It's the whole world is going to be filled with the divine will. What is it? It's divine light, divine love, divine sanctity, divine grace, divine peace. And was it perhaps not after a round you did in its acts that I, Jesus, was already waiting for you, Louisa, with all love, in order to give you its pledge and advances that its kingdom would come upon earth? Louisa, you gave your pledges, and my fiat gave you its own. It can be said that each truth and word it spoke about the divine will was a measure it took in order to form its kingdom, a call up it made in order to form its army, a capital it dispersed in order to maintain it, divine joys, divine delights, to draw creatures with divine strength to conquer them. See, this is the great thing about this great gift of the divine will. God says, I know how you're living. He says this in the three appeals. I know how you're living, and I'm tired of the way you're living. And since you haven't come after me, I'm going to come after you, and I'm going to wage war against you. But it's not a war of blood. It's a war of love, and you will not be able to turn me away again. Do you see what's going to come upon the earth? The glorious reign of God, the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. You know, and so therefore, what we're going through right now with all that's happening throughout the world, even in our own nation, is God saying, or the devil saying, hey, my kingdom's coming to an end. I have to kill as many people as I possibly can. Our job is to pray in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, daily, may your kingdom come. And we say to the Lord, have mercy on us. Forgive us our sins. Turn us back to you, Lord. Let us live as true Catholics. Let us live and be filled with your divine peace, divine love, divine joy. Jesus says, first we do in deeds, in order, and then order everything, and then we show and make known the deeds we have done. So that's what he's doing now with us. And since we want to give this good to all souls, it is just and reasonable that we deal at least with one soul, Louisa, so that from one soul it may pass to another. And that's why we're reading the volumes. This is being given to us through Louisa. This is her gift. We do not do works in the air, but we, Triune God, want a little shelf on which to form our greatest works. Wasn't Our Lady, Queen of Heaven and Earth, our little shelf in the great work of redemption that then extended to everyone and whoever wanted it? Therefore, Louisa, let your flight in my divine will be continuous so that the two of you, may Jesus, that's Mary and Louisa, may exchange your little pledges in my divine will, its capitals, in order to accelerate its kingdom on the face of the earth. Then Louisa says, after this, I felt more than usual, all immersed in the divine fiat, and my sovereign Jesus added, my daughter Louisa, when my divine will operates in the soul, one knows it immediately. See, it's the fiat. See, the souls that do well in the divine will give their fiat. If you don't give your fiat, God can't breathe into you this gift. If there's a doubt, if there's a worry, the fear, anxiety, complaints, Jesus does not force himself. He backs off. But the souls that say, fiat, I want this gift, they are, as he says, knows the divine will immediately. As it operates, it lays in the human being gentleness, sweetness, peace, fortitude, firmness. Before it operates, it blows into it and impresses in it the omnipotent fiat that extends its heaven around the work that it wants to do. It seems that without its heaven, my holy divine will is unable to operate. While it operates, it makes its sweet harmonious echo resound in the three divine persons, keeping them aware of what it is doing in the soul. See, so God is there when the people say fiat. See, there's no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. It's fiat. Let it be done as you say. Total docility, total surrender, total submission to the will of God. Remember, Our Lady said fiat mihi, and then God did 100% of the work. She just said yes. And when we can live that yes, that fiat, how easy it is. But when we start to doubt, God backs away. He says, I cannot give this to those that doubt. Remember what Elizabeth said, blessed is she who trusted in the words spoken to her. It's the same thing here. As we read this great gift of the divine will, God is speaking to us. God is transforming us. He's transmuting us. So he says, in fact, since the holy divine will that is operating in her is one with that of the three divine persons, it happens that whatever it does in the three divine persons, it makes its powerful echo resound in the soul. And in this echo, it brings her to the admirable secrets, the ineffable sweetness, and the inseparable love that the three divine persons love one another and in the sweet accord, and has the sweet accord among them. Again, God breathed into Adam because he wanted to give to Adam what he possessed. Not that Adam would become God, but that Adam would experience the life of God. That's the image and likeness. And that's what he's doing now again with Louisa. This echo is the bearer of the most intimate things of the Supreme Being into the soul. Whenever my divine will is operating, the echo of one fuses in the other. The one up above makes itself the divine revealer, and the one below, resounding in God, has the virtue of speaking powerfully with divine manners of the good of the creatures and of the same love that they have for them, that God has for them. My divine will with its power forms the sweet chains and it identifies and transforms God and the soul in such a way that God feels redone in the soul and the soul feels redone in God. Oh, my divine will, how admirable, how powerful you are. Extend your sweet chains and bind God in souls so that all may return into my divine womb. So here Jesus gives that final prayer. How admirable and powerful you are, divine will. And how God is bringing these sweet chains that binding God and man again so that everyone may return to where they came from. Volume 12, 2, 22, 21. The generations will not end until my divine will reigns upon earth. How great is this? The divine will reign before the end of the world, or before the end of time. The generations will not end until my divine will reigns upon earth. And again, it will be a new era. And this is what Our Lady is telling us. Get ready for the new heavens and the new earth. My redeeming fiat will place itself in the middle between the created fiat and the sanctifying fiat. And they will interweave, and all three together will accomplish the sanctification of man. The third fiat will give such grace to the creature as to make him return almost to the state of origin of Adam. And only then, when I see man just as he came out from me, will my divine work be complete, and I will take my perpetual rest in the last fiat. Remember, the seventh day is the day of rest. And if you read sacred scripture, it says the morning of the the evening of the first day, the morning of the second day, the morning of the second day, the morning of the third day, the but it does not say there's no morning or evening for the seventh day. This is what Jesus is waiting for. The seventh day has not yet happened. God says, I will take my perpetual rest in the last fiat. Only the life of my holy volition will give back to man his state of origin. Okay, only the life of the divine will. Therefore, you have to be attentive and together with me help me to complete the sanctification of souls. So God is asking us to work with him, to bring about this kingdom, to bring about this sanctification. Volume 17, 5, 17, 25. My daughter Louisa, all that you have said on fusing yourself in my divine will is another application that must be added. And that is fusing yourself in the order of grace in all that the sanctifier, the Holy Spirit, has done and will do to those who are to be sanctified. See, this is what the charismatics and Pentecostals are praying for. Fusing ourselves in the order of grace in all that the sanctifier, the Holy Spirit, has done and will do to those who are to be sanctified. Further, while we, the three divine persons, remain always united in working, if creation was related to the Father and redemption to the Son, the fiat voluntas tua was attributed to the Holy Spirit. And it is exactly in the Fiat Voluntastua that the Divine Spirit will display His work. You, Louisa, do it when, in coming before the Supreme Majesty, you say, I come to give love in return for everything which the Sanctifier does to those who are to be sanctified. I come to enter into the order of grace to give you glory and return of love, as if all had become saints, in order to repair you for all the opposition and lack of correspondence to grace. That's a beautiful prayer. I come to give love in return for everything which the Sanctifier does to those who are to be sanctified. I come to enter into the order of grace in order to give you, God, glory in return of love, as if everyone had become saints, in order to repair you, Lord, for all the oppositions and all of lack of correspondence that mankind has given you. And as much as you can, in our divine will, you search for the acts of grace of the Spirit Sanctifier in order to make it your own. His sorrow, his secret moans, his anguishing sighs in the depths of the heart and seeing himself unwelcome. See, that's to repair in the divine will is the sorrow of the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus tells us what this is. And then we have to understand this is very, very painful for the Lord, what he sees going on. So he says, and since the first act that God does is to bring our divine will, the first act that the Holy Spirit does is to bring our divine will as to the complete act of their sanctification. And seeing himself rejected, he moans with inexpressible moans. And in your childlike simplicity, you say to him, Spirit Sanctifier, hurry, I implore you, I beg you, let everyone know your divine will, so that in knowing your divine will, they may love your divine will and welcome your prime act of their complete sanctification, which is basically living in your most holy divine will. So here's another prayer. Spirit Sanctifier, hurry, I implore you, I beg you. We pray this with Louisa. Let everyone know your most holy divine will, so that in knowing it and loving it, they may welcome your prime act of their complete sanctification. See, this is what the Pentecostals and prayer charismatics are praying for, which is this great gift of the divine will. This is the prime act of the complete sanctification, which is living in God's holy divine will. My daughter Louisa, we triune God, the three divine persons are inseparable and distinct. And in this way, do we want to manifest to the human generations our works for them? Okay, so in three ways, creation, redemption, and sanctification. While remaining united within ourselves, each one of us wants to manifest individually his love and his works for the souls. Creation, redemption, and now sanctification. So two out of the three are done, and this is what God is working on right now. He wants to recreate us. This is the prayer of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle in us the fire of your love, which is the divine will. Send forth your Spirit, and we will be recreated, and then you will renew the world, creation of the world through us. Volume 18, 11:5-25. Louisa says, while I was fusing myself in the divine volition, again, in this we have to learn how to do that, according to my usual way, and while I was trying as much as I could to requite my Jesus with my little love for all that he has done in redemption, my lovable and sweet love, Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter Louisa, with your flight in my divine will, reach all the sacraments instituted by me, descend into the depths of them, to give me your requital of love. See, this is where sanctification comes, through the sacraments. Oh, how many of my... This is why God wants us to be Catholic, you know, to have the sacraments. How many of my secret tears you will find, how many bitter sighs and how many suffocating moans of the Holy Spirit. His moaning is continuous before the many disillusions of our love. The sacraments were instituted in order to continue my life on earth in the midst of my children. But alas, how many sorrows. This is why I, Jesus, feel the necessity of your little love. It may be small, but my divine will shall make it great. My love does not tolerate for one who must live in my divine will not to associate herself with my sorrows and not to give me her little requital of love for all that I have done and not all that I have suffered. Therefore, my daughter Louisa, see how my love moans in the sacraments. If I, Jesus, see a newborn being baptized, I cry with sorrow because while through baptism I, God, restore his innocence, I find my child again and I give back to him the rights of over creation which he had lost, and I smile at him with love and sanctification, and I make the enemy flee from him, that he may no longer have any right over him. And I entrust the soul to the angels, and all of heaven makes feast for that little soul. Soon my smile turns into sorrow, the feast into mourning, because I see that the one who was baptized will be an enemy of mine, a new Adam, and maybe even a lost soul. Oh, how my love moans in each baptism, especially when, if one adds that the minister who is baptizing does not do it with the respect, the dignity, the decorum, which befit a sacrament that contains the new regeneration. Many times they pay more attention to the bagatelle, to whatever show, than to administering the sacrament. So my love feels itself being pricked by the baptizer and by the one who is baptized, and it moans with unutterable moans. Would you not want then to give me, Triune God, a requital of love, of a loving moan for each baptism, so as to keep company with my sorrowful moans? So again, Jesus is showing us how to pray the round of sanctification. We go through the sacraments. And yes, how great a baptism is. You know, the ontological change that occurs. The son, the daughter is no longer a son or daughter of Adam, but now becomes a son and daughter of God. Yet at the same time, if the family is far from God, if the family is not faithful to God, it's poisoning the child to turn away from God. So Jesus says, now move on to the sacrament of confirmation. Oh, how many bitter sighs. While through confirmation, I, Jesus, restore his courage. I give him back the lost strength, rendering him invincible to all enemies and to his passions. And he is admitted to the ranks of the militia and of his creator, that he might fight for the acquisition and of the celestial fatherland. See, this is why we're here. We become the church militant, fighting for the celestial fatherland. We are not to be here. God is calling us to live in paradise. He's calling us to live in heaven while on earth. And see, we have to fight for it again, and we fight it the way Jesus taught us. Through the Beatitudes. And the Holy Spirit gives him his loving kiss again and lavishes thousands of caresses upon him and offers him as a companion of his career and offers himself as a companion of his career. Yet many times he feels himself being requited with the kiss of a traitor, his caresses being despised, his company shunned. How many moans, how many sighs for his return, and how many secret voices to the heart for the one who shuns him, shuns God, to the point of tiring himself out from speaking. But see, God is the Word of God. He's constantly speaking to us. But no, it is in vain. Therefore, do you not want to give your requital of love, your loving kiss, your company to the Holy Spirit, who moans because of so much negation? But do not stop, keep flying. And you will hear the anguishing moan of the Holy Spirit in the sacrament of penance. How much ingratitude, how many abuses and profanations on the part of those who administer it, on the part of those who receive it. In this sacrament, my blood places itself in act over the contrite sinner in order to descend upon his soul, to wash him, embellish him, and heal him, and strengthen him, to give him back the lost grace, to place in his hands the keys of heaven, which sin has snatched away from him, to impress on his forehead the peacemaking kiss of forgiveness. But how many harrowing moans in seeing the soul approach the sacrament of penance without sorrow, out of habit, almost in the vent of the human heart. Again, this today, few people go to confession, and they don't believe they've sinned, and this is even worse. Others, horrible to be said, instead of going to find their life of their souls, the grace to, they find death to be poured out, to pour out their passions. So the sacrament is reduced to a mockery, to a nice chat, and my blood, instead of descending as a bath, descends as a fire, which withers them even more. And so in each confession, our love cries inconsolably, and sobbing repeats, human ingratitude, how great you are, everything, everywhere you try to offend me. And while I offer you life, You turn the very life I offer into death. See then how our moans await your requital of love in the sacrament of penance. So here again, our God is showing us, pleading with us that He has great, great things in store, but unfortunately, most people cannot and do not pray this requital of love in the sacraments. Do not let your love stop. Go through all the tabernacles, through each sacramental host. In each host you will hear the Holy Spirit moan with unutterable sorrow. The sacrament of the Eucharist is not only their own life that the soul receives, but my very life that gives itself to them. So the fruit of this sacrament was to form my life in them. And each communion serves to make my life grow, to develop it in such a way that one may be able to say, I am another Christ, but alas, how few take advantage of it. See, that's why we're called to receive Jesus in the Eucharist. He wants to transform us, transmute us. See, this gift of the Holy Eucharist, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, is to transform us, to bring us into communion with God. That's why the Holy Church, right after receiving Holy Communion, the Holy Church Mass ends because it does not want to interfere with your communion. Now, there's a lot of talking and, you know, sharing after Holy Communion when Mass ends. Our job is to pray. Our job is to get closer to Jesus. Our job is to adore Him and worship Him and praise Him and love Him and glorify Him in the name of everyone and everything. So when somebody starts talking, you don't give them the evil eye. You just pray. You close your eyes and just pray. When somebody's laughing and making all sorts of noise right after Mass, you know, you stay on your knees and just adore God and love God for them. You know, don't let don't get angry, but really for them. You say, Jesus, I'm praying for them. I'm praying for all mankind who. See, at that moment, that when you receive Holy Communion, Jesus is there for at least 15 minutes until the host dissolves. And that's your communion with God. Adoring Him, loving Him, praising Him, thanking Him, blessing Him. And so by the end of communion, you can say, I am another Christ. This is what God is looking for. But alas, how few take advantage of it. Even more, how many times I, Jesus, descend into hearts and they make me find the weapons that who wound me again and repeat for me the tragedy of my passion. And as the sacramental species are consumed, instead of pressing me to stay with them, I am forced to leave, bathed with tears, crying over my sacramental lot. God is forced to leave. And I find no one who calms my crying, no one to calm my sorrowful moans. If you could break those veils of the host which cover me, you would find me bathed with crying, knowing the lot that awaits me in descending into hearts. Therefore, the souls of the divine will, let your requital of love for each host be continuous in order to calm my crying, in order to render less sorrowful the moans of the Holy Spirit. So we'll end there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.